You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Election campaigning for 2022 assembly elections is on in full swing, and political parties, be it BJP, Congress, Samajwadi Party, or the Aam Aadmi Party, they're leaving no stone unturned to make themselves be heard. Not just at rallies, a war of words is on even on Twitter between leaders. To find out who said what, especially Prime Minister Narendra Modi, stay tuned. Hello and welcome to CNBCTV18.com. This is Kanishka Sarkar and you are listening to the Top News Podcast. I'm back here with the latest on markets, economy, business, politics and more from around the world. First up, here's how the market fared on February 8th. The stock market snapped its three-day losing run. Both Sensex and Nifty ended slightly higher, while Sensex finished with a gain of 187 points at 57,800. Nifty settled at 17,239, that is 25 points higher. Auto, metal, pharma and PSU bank stocks were the ones that gained, whereas all other sectoral indices ended in the red. The shares of pharma firms were in focus today ahead of quarterly earnings and also amid reports that the US Food and Drug Administration is likely to soon begin surprise inspections of drug manufacturing facilities outside the US, including units in India. While Nifty Pharma ended the day 0.5% higher, during the day it rose almost 1%. While the stock of Pfizer gained 3%, Cipla and Divis Lab ended almost 2% higher. Aurobindo Pharma, on the other hand, ended marginally lower. This pharma firm is already on US FDA's radar for violations at its Daulatabad unit in Telangana. In January this year, US FDA had flagged a violation of current good manufacturing practice, that is CGMP, for active pharmaceutical ingredients after it inspected the company's unit in August 2021. Meanwhile, shares of Wockhardt surged more than 5% after the company said it has received permission from the Central Drugs Standard Control Organization, that is CDSCO, to export up to 80 million doses of Sputnik Light and up to 20 million doses of Sputnik V component 1 vaccine. TVS Motor Company shares were also in demand a day after the automaker reported a strong set of results for the December quarter. The stock rose more than 7% to 685 rupees per share on BSE. Global brokerage Macquarie maintained an outperform rating on TVS Motor with a target price of 810 rupees, whereas Citi retained its sell call with a target price of 550 rupees. Meanwhile, UBS has a buy rating on the stock with a target price of 1000 rupees. Moving on, Adani Wilma shares made a strong debut on the Lal Street today. The stock of Adani Wilma, which is a 50-50 joint venture between the Adani Group and Singapore's Wilma Group, climbed to as high as 265 rupees on the BSE during the session on its listing day, meaning a premium of 15% over the issue price. On NSE, the stock commanded a premium of 17%. Moving on, here's how the high-stakes election season is playing out. As Uttar Pradesh goes to polls in the first phase of elections this week, Union Home Minister and BJP leader Amit Shah released the election manifesto for the state. The BJP has promised a 10-year punishment and 1 lakh rupees fine for those indulging in love jihad if it returns to power in UP. It has also promised free electricity for irrigation to farmers in the next 5 years. Meanwhile, UP's Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath and Delhi's Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal engaged in a Twitter spat last night, that is on February 7th, over lockdown management. Both leaders tweeted in Hindi. Yogi said, and I quote, "Listen, Kejriwal, when the entire humanity was groaning due to the pain of corona, you forced the workers of Uttar Pradesh to leave Delhi. Your government did an undemocratic and inhuman act of leaving children and women helpless on the UP border in the middle of the night. Should one call you anti-humanity or..." Unquote. Kejriwal was quick to react in the same tone. He tweeted, and I quote, "Listen, Yogi, you just let it be. As the dead bodies of people of UP were floating in the river, you were giving advertisements of your false applause in Time magazine by spending crores of rupees. I have never seen such a heartless and cruel ruler like you. Unquote. This Twitter battle comes just 2 days before UP goes to the polls. In fact, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has also accused Delhi and Maharashtra of spreading coronavirus in the country. The Prime Minister has also been slamming Congress in his past few speeches. Today, in an address in Rajya Sabha, Modi hit out at the grand old party saying it never thought beyond its dynasty and that the biggest threat to India's democracy is the dynastic parties. When a family is the supreme in any party, then the first casualty is that of talent, he says. He also listed out a series of events that happened during the Congress regime, which, according to him, would not have happened had the party not been there. He said, had Congress ceased to be, as per the wish of Mahatma Gandhi, democracy would have been free from the dynasty. India would have walked on the path of national resolutions instead of taking to foreign view. Had Congress not been there, there would have been no blot of emergency. Had Congress not been there, there would have been no massacre of Sikhs. Punjab wouldn't have burnt in flames of terrorism for years. Kashmiri Pandits would not have left Kashmir, he said. Congress MPs walked out of the Rajya Sabha following the speech. Leader of opposition in Rajya Sabha, Mallikarjun Kharge, said that they walked out of the PM's speech on motion of thanks because instead of speaking on President's address, he accused Congress. Now, I'm moving on to an update from Karnataka. Karnataka Chief Minister has ordered closure of all high schools and colleges for the next 3 days amid the ongoing hijab row. This comes after protests for and against the hijab intensified at colleges in different parts of the state. The High Court was also to hear petitions filed by 5 girls studying in a government pre-university college in Udupi questioning hijab restriction in college. In another update from down south, the Tamil Nadu Assembly has again adopted anti-NEET bill. A special assembly session was convened for the purpose, during which the bill was adopted by a voice vote. All political parties except the BJP supported the bill. This is the second time that the Tamil Nadu Assembly has adopted the anti-NEET bill. It was previously passed in September last year to scrap the entrance exam and enable admissions to MBBS and BDS based on class 12th marks. The bill will now be sent to Governor R.N. Ravi for the second time. He had returned it on February 1st, asking the state legislature to reconsider it. Next up are a few updates from the business world. According to a report, Ashneer Grover, the co-founder of BharatPay, is in talks with investors to sell his 9.5% stake in the company. This could result in his full exit from the firm. Grover had landed in controversy last month for alleged use of inappropriate language against one of Kota Group's employees. After a leaked audio tape, the founder went on a voluntary leave of absence until March end. Meanwhile, BharatPay initiated an independent audit which indicated egregious instances of fraud in the fintech firm. Here's an update on Amazon versus Future case. The Supreme Court has rejected Amazon's request to file 7-page written submissions after the court has already reserved its order on Future Retail's plea that sought to proceed with National Company Law Tribunal, not for the Reliance deal. Amazon's request irked the Chief Justice of India, N.V. Ramana, who rapped the e-commerce giant for trying to complicate matters and drag on hearings. CJS said it is best not to list these matters as it appears to be luxurious litigations. Earlier in January, the Future Group had sought Supreme Court's approval to proceed with its deal with Reliance Retail. Future submitted that the court had already reserved passing final orders and that it should be allowed to secure shareholder approval. According to the company, approval was necessary from the Competition Commission of India and NCLT for this deal to move forward. And the process to finalize the deal was a lengthy one and could take months to reach the final stages. The top court then last week reserved the order and also refused to pass any interim orders restraining banks from classifying Future Retail as a non-performing asset. With that, we end this podcast. But before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us at cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.